Township of McKellar, special open meeting of council for November 22nd, 2024 to order. Start with roll call.
Counselor Morley Hoskam.
Treasurer Roshan Kantia.
Counselor Debbie Zula.
Counselor Mike Heckman.
Clerk Administrator Carly Brown.
Counselor Nick Ryland.
Fire Chief Robert Morrison.
Public Works Superintendent Thomas Coleman.
Mayor David Moore. There any declarations of pecuniary and their personal interest and the general nature thereof? Hearing none. I have resolution 24-621, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the agenda for the special meeting of council as presented. Any discussion on the agenda? Call the question. All those in favor? And opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundary fall within the Robinson Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, work towards truth and reconciliation. In resolution 24-622, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby move into committee the whole at 2:02 p.m. to receive the draft 2025 capital budget from Treasurer Roshan Kantia and to facilitate discussions among council and staff. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Should we be doing that? If Nick's voting, we should do that. Recording vote for each one.
Do you want to do that now?
Yeah, I'll have to go back. So just to get his vote on.
Nick, just because you're online, we're going to do a recorded vote for the last two resolutions.
Sorry, say that again?
Because you're online, we're just going to do a recorded vote for the last two resolutions.
Okay, that's fine.
So the first was 24-621, opening the meeting. Councilor Morley Hoskam?
Yes.
Councilor Mike Heckonen?
Yes.
Councilor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Councilor Debbie Zulak?
Yes.
Mayor David Moore?
Yes.
And the second resolution is 24-622, going into committee of the whole at 2:02 p.m. Councilor Morley Hoskam?
Yes.
Councilor Mike Heckonen?
Yes.
Councilor Nick Ryland?
Yes.
Councilor Debbie Zulak?
Yes.
Mayor David Moore?
Yes. Okay, we have the proposed capital budget in front of us. Roshan has put together with the help of various department heads. And I guess I'll just turn it over to Roshan. And and we'll just go through. You have it organized by department, so I think that's really useful. And then I can explain some of these numbers here for us, I guess. And we should remind people as well that this is a wish list. I mean, some of these things will be necessities. We need to do them as much as we can in 2025. We just don't want them to wait any longer. Some have been put off for a couple of years. So I think that's the other thing that you'll notice with some of the departments. It seems like quite an increase in wish list, but maybe that wish list has been there for a couple of years. So that's why it seems like such a large increase. And they're still waiting, some of them. But I'll turn it over to Roshan, and you can just walk us through what you have here. That'd be great. And this is just the capital, as we all know. So, okay.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. Typically, the budget presentation starts in March. This year, we are starting early. And the process starts with it, consulting with the department heads about their needs and wants for their respective departments.
Sorry, do you mind if I stop you quick? Can you move your mic up closer?
Hello?
That should be better.
So the estimated capital budget for next year is $4,128,850.39, which represents 29.55% increase compared to the last year. The administrative department has requested $10,997 for a computer server. The fire protection services have requested $672,000, which includes the funding for the replacement of mini bumper, cover, paint, and two fire hydrants. The building department is requesting a capital budget of $48,000, which will provide, out of that, $45,000 is for the vehicle. The cost of the vehicle will be covered by the reserve. The Public Works Department has requested a capital budget of $3,379,860.81, which includes the various projects such as Hardwell Road, Hardwell Bridge, Moffett Road, Dockside Road, Balsam Road, Manitou Road, and Backhoe, and other items. And additionally, the transfer of reserve to the community center, which is set at the $10,000. The amount of capital funded by levies has increased due to the unavailability of other funds and grants. And the council will need to review these various requests from department heads and provide us the guidance moving forward. Thank you.
Excellent. So maybe we'll start with admin. We'll start with the ones that a little less.
Yeah. So last year or this year, we hired the IT company, Near North Business Machine, and they reviewed our IT infrastructure, and they told us that we required a new server. The total cost of the server is $21,995, and the invoice for that server is attached with the package, and the 50% of that amount has been paid in 2024, and the remaining 50% we need to pay in 2025.
Okay, now that's the actual capital. I know it's in operational too,
yeah,
where they were hired. Is there any other equipment that will be required other than a server?
Not that I know. That's the only one I think is up now.
Okay. And it's sort of everything else sort of hinges on that too, right? I mean, it's almost a given. That's more of a need than a want, so
right
at this stage.
If I could just jump in for a second, I can hear all the counselors quite clearly, quite well, but Roshan breaks up to the point that I really can't hear. I really, or at least can't understand what's being said when he's speaking. Can he use the microphone that I usually use?
He's going to slide his mic up higher on his collar.
Maybe,
yeah. Yeah, we want to use one of those.
Sorry, folks. It's really weird when I hear it like this. That's all. So.
No, I think it's excellent. Get some feedback.
Yeah.
Sorry, Councillor Nick. Can you hear me now?
No problem. Yes, I can. And it's quite clear. Now I can hear you like I can hear all the others. So thank you.
Thank you. As I mentioned that, you know, the in my report for the computer server, we need a $10,997.58 for the next year capital budget. Total cost of that server is $21,995.15.
Now, do you just wish to go through the, I'm not sure whether the department heads have the same package, I guess they do. So, you want to go just the order in which they're here?
Yeah, and since I think the fire chief Robert Morrison has to go at 3 o'clock, so I would rather start with the fire department.
I'm good till at least 3:30. I'm good till 3:30.
Oh, you good? Okay. Anyhow, next one is the fire department.
Next one is fire.
You're going on for the
election. I think you want to go before Tom. I think his wish list is bigger. You know.
No promises. We're just hearing.
Oh, I know.
Hello. Can you hear me okay, Councillor Ryan?
I'm good.
So in the fire department, you know, the capital budget, as I mentioned in my report, that and also attached some of the documentation, and this year we did the report on the tower, and as per the report, we need to replace the tower, and the cost of that replacement is around 180,000, and the mini pumper cost is estimated price is 400,000, and they are also looking at the two hydrants at the two different locations, and the that the cost of that two hydrants is 13,000. The painting is $4,000.
Okay, I'll let
okay.
you go ahead.
You want me to speak to this? Okay,
sure.
So I guess we'll start from the top with the...
With priorities, I think that would help us.
So. Yes, so I think number one priority would have to be the radio tower. We have, it has been identified for us that we are in desperate need of replacement of the radio tower. It is stressed beyond capacity, it is older than it should be. And the new site that we have found seems to be quite advantageous, which would be township property at Lees Road and Center. So the estimated cost of $180,000 was based on pricing of, I guess would be August pricing. And so there is a little, going to have to be a little bit of leeway in that, but yes, that would be for a self-supported 200-foot tower. And then involved with that is the remaining funds. If you recall, in last year's capital budget, this present year's capital budget, we had $50,000 set aside for radio upgrades and the antenna and the repeater and so forth. That money was clearly not spent because we didn't want to put it on a bad tower. So we had the purchase of the new portable pager radios, which came to, I believe, about $10,000, and the rest of that $50,000 was to carry forward, or will carry forward into the coming year. So this is, I feel like this is this would be our number one priority, because communications is, of course, the backbone of us being able to deliver our services. Not to throw a wrench into things, I was contacted on October 31st by Bell, and well after we had completed our other process, and there is a gentleman there who is working on seeing if we can get on to the Bell Tower. So setting aside this money to guarantee the replacement of the tower would be fantastic. It may not actually be needed. I should have a pricing and more information in place by the end of December this year.
Okay.
Well, hopefully it's not necessary and it can be returned to the general fund.
Yeah, and this is our first meeting certainly for capital, so
yeah.
If we get information by the end of December, I mean, that would be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Bell Tower now are they talking about?
So Bell has been responsible for building the OPP and EMS communication system throughout the province of Ontario. There are two options at play that currently are not available to any other fire department in Ontario, but the gentleman who works for Bell has seen this as a whole in the services that they offer, and so he's trying to push through the province allowing for it to happen. It will then return more money to Bell, because we would enter into like a lease agreement with them for the space, as opposed to actually having to fund the project ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Again, very preliminary. We don't know whether the dollars and cents will add up to make sense. But the towers, we could potentially be off of both towers, which would be very beneficial if we were to jump on the network that the OPP and the EMS uses. The other option that we have is to just use the tower, which is off of Coal Point, I believe. In sort of the center of the lake, south end of the lake, and that in itself would provide us with benefit of a more centralized location in the township as opposed to Balsam Road. So, and that would involve Bell, us purchasing the equipment from the $50,000 that we currently have set aside, $40,000 that we currently have remaining set aside. They would be in charge of installing it and they would then be in charge of the maintenance of it as well. So we would have to enter into a service agreement with them, regardless of whether we use their equipment or ours.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the sounds of that.
It came out of thin air, I'm sure you heard from the gentleman that was here, it's very difficult to get into any kind of agreements with the big telecom companies. And so this gentleman has identified it as a potential opportunity for Bell, and because it's advantageous for them, it generally tends to move faster, right? Okay. So, yeah. So we'll see. Fingers are crossed.
Excellent.
Second would be the installation of the hydrants. We've been discussing this for a few years. We lost, unfortunately, a dry hydrant that we had in the north end of the lake here due to property concerns. That leaves us with a little bit of a hole in terms of our, I'm not going to say our response capabilities, but our ease of response capabilities. It's a lot easier to pull water out of a lake when it's frozen when it's you have a tap, as opposed to having to create a hole, an opening, and put hoses down. So it's a lot safer, too, than having to go out on the ice and do that operation. So at a minimum, it would be wonderful to see the installation of a hydrant for us to use the north end of the lake off of Lakeside, which is the northernmost boat launch here. Ideally, it would be fantastic to have a second one down off of Stewart Park. This would provide us with one at the south end of the lake, the Herdville Dam, middle lake at Stewart Park, and top of the lake at Lakeside Boat Launch. Makes it easier, makes the travel to
just for clarification, Lakeshore. Because
Lakeshore, I apologize, yes.
Because Lakeshore. There is a Lakeside Boat Launch.
You're absolutely right. It says right here, Lakeshore. Sorry, I apologize. This would decrease the travel time to sources of water in the event of an incident, so it's advantageous from that standpoint. Also, we are due to do the renewal of our tanker shuttle certification, which I provided an explanation in the last monthly report. This comes up every 5 years. We demonstrate to the fire underwriters group that we can essentially provide water at a rate that's consistent with that of a hydrant in the city. It is not an easy task, and having a dry hydrant available to us makes it easier, makes it faster. They had that the hydrant in place, I believe, in the last time that they did this scenario. So I could be incorrect on that, but I believe they used the one at the south end of the lake for the last time they did the scenario. I wasn't present for that one. So I'm advocating for, at a minimum, the installation of the Lakeshore Road hydrant. If in order to fall into the needs versus wants list, I would say that the Lakeshore is a need and the Stewart Park is a want, simply because we're in the process of doing it. Why not do them both?
Okay. Now, do you have any timeline on that? Because we've had our engineer look at Lakeshore, and he hasn't really given us anything definitive yet on what to do there.
I would say that ideally, having one of them put in for the testing that we have to do in the what we'll end up being in the late spring to summer would be ideal. So a lot of that will depend on me working with our operations and roads director in order to find a time that works for his guys to do the work as well. So the $13,000, it is a reflection of what we believe the cost of the materials are, but also the cost of paying our guys to do it.
Right.
So that doesn't have to necessarily come out of Tom's bucket.
And it doesn't take up a big area, I don't think. I mean,
no, it doesn't take up a big area. It's essentially, it's approximately an 8-inch to a 10-inch ABS pipe that goes straight up and down near the shore, and then as it goes into the water, it stays along the bottom, so that it provides minimal profile, minimal chances of any kind of interaction with people, boats, or anything like that, and it'll extend to the point where we feel like we can get below the freezing line.
Awesome.
Yes?
just wondering if the engineer could take a look at, you know, an area that wouldn't be impacted if the boat launch was changed on Lakeshore Road so that this project can move forward, or another option at the beach or at the government docks?
The option at the government docks was previously discussed. I believe the complicating factor there is the number of water lines that go in along the side of that dock. That's the information that I was given. I'm all for anything there because it provides there's a turnaround, there's access to the next road. That would actually be more convenient. We have, if you remember, looked at Minerva Park and other areas. They provided obstacles like the amount of height that was needed to draw the water out was beyond the capabilities of our trucks. So if we are able to incorporate the government dock and we can do it in a way that we don't disturb the water lines that are in place for our residents, then I'm all for it.
Just be nice to have that move forward so there isn't
absolutely
any other obstacles, you know, just delaying the project.
Sure, so to not delay it, but also to make it so we don't have to pull it out. I mean, you can always remove the system in its entirety, as we did with the other location. However, you may damage the equipment, you may have to buy more ABS pipe for, you know, to account for the difference in the depth and stuff like that. So at least this way, if the government dock was successful, then we don't have to worry about it.
Councilor Zumar, do you have one?
Well, that was my question. Would it be much to move, like if we had installed it down at the boat launch there? And if it had to be redone, could we, you know, move it?
In a perfect world, you'd be able to remove it. You'd be looking at man hours and like maybe minimal bracing for the pipe would have to change. Like if we had to cut a pipe in order to carry it because it's impractical to transport a 100-foot long pipe down the road. You'd have to fit it with a collar or something, right? But that would be minimal. So in a perfect world, yes, it would be minimal and easy to move. You're talking about the cost of man hours.
I'm just thinking, you know, if we didn't have the drawings for that from Bob yet, you know, and yet in the spring or the summer, you still wanted to go ahead and install it, you know, would there be much to move it once we didn't get the proper configuration of that?
It's not overly complicated to move it. It's just how much you can salvage the pieces.
It's just a second thought.
Yeah. No, it's a good point.
Okay, so our purpose here, I guess, is to put money aside for that, so wherever it goes. For today's meeting, anyway.
The third one would be the procurement of the mini pumper. This was identified in a SWOT assessment early in my time here. I believe we did a document that talked about the sort of apparatus life and expected lifespan, its use, and when we feel like we would need to make capital investments. It was a 5-year document that I believe Roshan requested back in 2022, late 2022. Is it 2022? 23. 23? Okay, yeah. So in which we identify like our SCBA purchase, which is a mandatory purchase in 2027, in which we identify the need to upgrade our Rescue 2, which is, we've benefited for a very long period of time off of essentially a $1 deal with the EMS, where we got the use of that truck and to own that truck, which they no longer required. It was beyond their service life. So we have used it, and it's been very good to us. We would like to replace it now that it is as old as it is, and it is... it has seen the mileage that it has. We would like to replace it before it essentially needs to be disposed of, which is what happened with the old Rescue 1. The old Rescue 2 would become a third-line apparatus. It would be instrumental in the transportation of crew and equipment to different scenes, such as our wildfire equipment, such as our ice rescue equipment. So we are not seeking to dispose of it, but we're seeking to reposition it while it still has some lifespan left. The replacement vehicle would be a mini pumper, which met the NFPA standards, which will be a benefit to us from a fire underwriter's perspective. We will essentially have a new runway. You have a 20, for frontline pumpers, you have a 20-year runway where they accept it as a frontline pumper. Beyond that point, you have to start doing some different certifications. It becomes harder because parts become harder to get. this discussion in the past. So you guys understand the logic behind it. And the mini pumper to us presents the opportunity to get into some places where we perhaps would have difficulty accessing with our regular size pumpers. So this would allow us to get essentially the wet stuff to the red stuff in harder to reach areas. It would be a four-wheel drive vehicle, so it would be better for us in the winter. Currently, Rescue 2 only operates as a two-wheel drive vehicle. And so it increases the safety and our availability during the rough weather. So for all the same reasons, I am advocating for the purchase of or the replacement of Rescue 2 with a new mini pumper. We feel the advantages far outweigh the upfront cost that we're going to have to deal with. So.
Just that $400,000, that was an earlier.
Pardon me?
The $400,000 was an earlier pricing, I know.
That $400,000 was from the EOI that we did back in the early fall. I believe it was the September 20th deadline. That was the best price, from what I remember, was $396, and that was from Dependable in Brampton, which is a local company that I'm quite familiar with because of my other career, and they offered the best package as a whole, including services, training, maintenance, and so forth, and warranty.
And what would be their delivery date on that? Did they need
so for the EOI,
or?
They were able to deliver it by the end of the year. It really depends on when we push the button. So if we were to put an order in for January 1st, being the new budget year, then we would be requesting delivery within the first one-third of the year. I doubt we'd make the quarter, but requesting it certainly by the time we hit our busy season. So
I'm just going to put forward a scenario here. We haven't talked about this at all, but can we survive, I guess, until late 2025 and then work it over 2025 to 2026? And I know there'll be other requests at that point, too. But
yeah, I can't say no, but we're seeing a trend that is obvious in all of the budget lines, where Rescue 2 is just it's tired and it's old, and it may or may not make it that far. It might. It's just like the radio tower might not fall down by the spring, you know. But it might, right? So it's a tough. Go. This was identified early as a weak spot. We have to obviously be fiscally responsible with the procurement of our apparatus, but I feel like the advantage of being able to keep old Rescue 2 in operable form as a spare, so that we no longer have to rely on surrounding municipalities to happen to have a truck available for us if one of our frontline trucks breaks down. To be able to use it as a third line truck for us to be able to transport people and equipment, I think the advantages are fairly obvious. So the earlier that we move it into that position, the longer we extend its lifespan.
Councilor Kane.
The goal is to obtain whatever vehicles are necessary, but even with the radio tower, in a recent report you'd indicated that you're working on a contingency plan in case of an issue with the radio tower?
Yes.
Yeah. So same with this, I would assume that you're working on a contingency plan in case there is any issues and how you can fill that void?
At current, there is no other apparatus available to us within the essentially the mutual aid group that is not a frontline apparatus that other services don't use. We happen to have great timing with the two things that happened to us in the spring, be it the accident on 124 where we lost service of Rescue 1 for a certain period, and the mechanical failure of Rescue 2 where we lost service of that for a two-week period. Both happened to be when Parry Sound had a new vehicle and they had not disposed of the old pickup truck at that time. So that vehicle is no longer available to us in order to be a backup, at least to my understanding. That has moved on and gone on to auction. whereas they were just able to delay it for our benefit in the spring.
So with the equipment and vehicles that we have,
yeah,
can you service the needs of the community?
With the equipment and vehicles that we have currently, we are servicing the needs of the community, yes.
And without the mini pumper that you're requesting, would you still be able to meet the needs? And
so long as Rescue 2 stays in operable form, we can service the needs of the community, yes.
Because we seem to have quite a few vehicles, up-to-date vehicles now with the fire department that the department didn't have even 10 years ago, like the amount of vehicles. And
yeah, and that was, so Pumper 1, I believe, was a spur-of-the-moment quick purchase because of our old pumper had failed, and we're trying to avoid that scenario going forward. I don't want to have to settle for something that is, let's say, subpar or not up to the standard that we're hoping to have, just because we have a service to provide and a hole to fill. So that old, the new pumper that we have, which I believe we're finished paying for this year, correct?
Next year.
2025, yes. That was a spur of the moment purchase on a whim, essentially. But I don't like operating like that. I'd rather not operate like that.
It's good to be proactive one step ahead. And
so if we can do that and create essentially a secondary vehicle which acts as a backup to us, while also providing a benefit to everybody of having a more capable and healthy vehicle, then that's what we're advocating for. It's the weakness that I identified, and that's what I have to advocate for. So,
Councilor Zulak.
So, Roshan, the mini pumper is 400,000, right? And so the 170 in reserve, that would reduce that to 230,000 for the pumper?
Correct.
And then if, say, the tower, we didn't need the tower,
yeah,
we might have money from that that we could put over to there?
Sure, yeah.
Which is how much?
The tower was scheduled to be 180.
I know that's the total, but how much money is
available?
There was 40,000 that was left over from the radios that was going to be transferred into the tower.
That was going to be carried forward into 2025, because that is there's the tower and then there's the actual radios, right? We have an antenna and a repeater, and the mobile radio programming to do in the vehicles, as well as we have to replace one of the mobile radios. So that 40,000 is still required, but it's not new money. It's money that's carrying forward
for the same purpose.
For the
that
exact
it was
same purpose. Yeah. Yes. As the one that we haven't gotten to yet was the painting, and we had originally allocated a $30,000 budget for the painting and rejuvenation of Station 2. We were fortunate enough to be able to tap some talented individuals that we have with the department, and we've completed that project on an exterior level for, I believe, just over 7. So we're returning 23,000 minus, I'm trying to keep 4 in reserve in order to paint the inside. We've already bought the materials. We want to paint the bathroom, just do the inside of the hall as well as the outside, the kitchen, the bathroom, the office, right?
So, so these are volunteers?
Volunteers that are
getting paid. These are experienced, knowledgeable volunteers that would know how to paint the roof at St. Stephen's Church as well?
Nice try.
You know, it's possible. It's possible.
They better do the fire station first, because it might be dead by the time they finish the church.
You've seen, I don't know if you've seen it, I'm sure many of you have driven by Station 2, and
nice.
It looks fantastic as compared to how it used to look. So we have taken an asset that was at one point, well, as of earlier this year, looking tired and run down, and you know, we've given it some pride, right? So the guys are very happy with the way it looks.
And the roof, was that sealed as well?
The roof was, yes, so the people who did the operations there, they did seal it, but there was a...
He's coming on Monday,
there.
Weather depending. He called me today.
Yeah, there was a contract that was put out for, that was awarded earlier in the year.
To Northern View Construction?
That was, yeah, they were doing something on one of the other buildings, and they threw in the actual proper sealing of the roof of Station 2 as well into the contract. So, yeah, that was all. That's all said, spoken for at this point in time.
Yeah, the reason I raised the previous scenario was that rather than just say, no, we don't have the money, we could put away half of it sort of thing and over a two-year period. So half would be in 2025 and then the other half would pay for it in 2026. Sort of. That's why I wondered, and you talk about reserves, pulling them out there, you have to keep in mind too that and we tend to put money back into reserves as well, so that's another expense. You wouldn't put as much back in perhaps, but no, that's why, you know, what Councilor Kecken was saying, we have to weigh a number of departments and their, and what they...
No, I understand.
But I think, you know, even if we'll talk about this certainly in the future too, but rather than saying no to the 400,000, even if we agreed to a portion of that.
Yeah, so we have, I mean, it's 400,000, but from that you're taking the 170 that currently exists. Hopefully you're taking a significant portion of the 180 that I highly suggest you set aside for the tower in case the Bell deal falls through. So you're not looking at, you know, 230,000 anymore. You're now looking at, you know, we have an outlay of say, 50,000 new cash at the end of the day. And if we have 20,000 left over from the painting, now we're only looking at an outlay of 30,000 new money from the end of the day, at the end of the day. So I believe that this is an attainable goal, which is, I guess, why you sense that I'm strongly advising that we continue on with this, but my job is to provide the options and tell you how I can best provide the service. You guys have to decide what you can fund. Right?
Yes, so I'm just looking at it. That's an if you don't go ahead with the tower sort of thing. We don't know that yet, and that was your first priority, the tower.
Yeah.
So
the tower communications
to
is
me,
key.
180 to me, I don't think should be allocated to the pump grid at this stage.
No. I'm not suggesting that.
No.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting that if we did commit to it, then, you know, obviously the goal is to reduce it by 180.
Right.
In short order.
Yeah.
As long as it's a viable solution to go with Bell.
Councilor Craig?
And there was an accumulated amount from the rent we're receiving on the Rogers Tower on West Point.
Yeah.
And I think that was close to 72,000. I don't think that was incorporated in any of the budget figures here.
So there's
a possibility that there's some money in reserve
mm-hmm.
to help offset costs of...
What's
the tower
world like leading into that tower? When you talk about reserves, I mean, is West Road in good shape, sort of thing, too? So, that's what I said. We have to look at all departments, but
just because that was
set
in reserve for communications, and so I think that lines up with why we were setting that money in reserve, you know, for communications.
Yep.
And just have you ever looked at? Like say for the pump or like fundraising?
In terms of doing a
like
a boot drive kind
of
thing?
Yeah,
sort
of thing.
I've never looked at it, no. I have explored other avenues such as NOHFC and other grants that might have been available to us. At this point in time, none of them are available for the purchase of apparatus, which is very unfortunate. I thought that we could do it with NOHFC, but it's not for... purpose. We do have, you know, we have applied for two grants which will greatly benefit the department from an infrastructure point of view, but we have not received the acceptance of those grants yet. One of which was an emergency preparedness grant for $50,000, which will provide the operations building as well as our two fire halls with backup power, which goes to help benefit us from an emergency preparedness point of view. We've also applied for Fire Marshal's grant, which was at $10,000 per hall. Every indication that I've heard so far is that we've been successful. However, I don't have it in writing at this point in time, but that in itself was done to take care of, like, in our operational budget, we have the purchase of bunker gear every year. So one of those halls grants was to take care of the procurement of that bunker gear. So that is a savings as well. Like we will have a if and when successful with that one. The other TAL was going to get bunker gear storage as well as decontamination equipment so that we could clean the bunker gear properly at the end of a fire or exposure. So there are various avenues that I've tried to decrease the overall expenditure.
But the idea of fundraising doesn't...
It's tough to fundraise for a vehicle.
I was just
you're talking about
yeah.
a lot of money, and
no, I know, but even
we
if
get a lot
got...
of volunteer hours as is,
yeah.
And now if we're throwing in boot drives and begging for money, it's one of those things where I would prefer to see the money that we have that gets donated to the department turned back into something to benefit the community, such as you know, things to, that the kids can have, or an event such as a hydro village coming in and teaching people how to properly manage the hydro lines on their property in terms of trimming around them, stuff like that. I would rather see it turned into things that everybody can sort of benefit from. This being an infrastructure cost, I tend to think of it more as a township responsibility. Okay, Councilor Haskell.
Yeah. I don't know. This got put on my desk in front of me. I guess it's from 23. It's kind of a 5-year forecast for vehicles. And it kind of looks here like a clean slate for a few years. Like, is there no other major vehicle purchases you see in the next
no,
few
so
years?
The in order to keep maintain our status with the in which we had improved 2 years ago, in order to maintain our status with the fire underwriters, your frontline vehicle out of each haul, a frontline pumper out of any haul that you have, such as Station 2 currently being Tanker 2, has to be within a 20-year spectrum. Now, that truck in itself is a 2012, I believe, off the top of my head, which means that it's coming up for replacement. We can get a longer runway by going with, as we talked about before, going with a fresh 20 years and a mini pumper that meets the NFPA specs. By doing that, we don't have anything else that I can see necessitating replacement within the next 10 to 15 years. As opposed to having to replace the tanker if it remains our frontline pumping apparatus. Let's say we went with a simple pickup truck at a Station 2, which is always an option. You can go with the same thing that we have at Station 1. But once that hits the 20-year mark and you're looking at the procurement of a new tanker, especially a tandem axle tanker, we're looking at a $1 million purchase. So it's, you know, it's a judgment call.
Okay, thanks, Rob.
Yeah. Now we do have the SCBA purchase, and I just remind us of that in 2027 we have $250,000 SCBA purchase that we cannot get away from.
Is this a 2026?
We would place the order in 2026. We need to have them in service by 2027. All of our SCBA will be at the end of their usable lifespan and no longer certifiable.
Now, is that something, Roshan, that the money put aside each year?
$25,000 each year I've been putting.
Okay.
So as of now, by end of actually next year will be $50,000. Just for the SCBA.
Okay, and you're saying in 2026, 2027 it will be.
We put the order in 26. We pay for it in 27 when we receive it. Yes.
How much?
About approximately $250,000. $250,000.
Yeah. So these $25,000 a year are really not adding up very quickly.
No.
And yet we're getting close to those years.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're trying to soften the blow.
Yeah.
By being responsible and putting some money aside for it. So. Now we do have, I mean, if we did go through with the purchase of the vehicle, then we do have that $50,000, which was set aside for capital vehicle expenses that we could theoretically then transfer into an SCBA for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by 2027, we have to increase that reserve amount to purchase that, or we have to figure out a way to fund that purchase.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
So, but will it be in our 2026 budget, which is time's flying, but it'll be our next budget
yeah.
that we have to allot that
At least
200,000.
Yeah, 20,000, yeah.
1 year from now, we have to be. But.
It would be in your 2027 budget.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
It would be. You have two more budgets, and then you'd be seeing it. Because we have 25, 26, and then for the 27 budget. So this time,
okay.
November 2026, we'll be sitting here discussing an SCBA purchase.
Yeah, well, we're dealing with the 25 budget right now.
Correct, yes.
So you're saying we don't have to worry about it for the 26 budget?
No, we'll put an order in at the end of 26, but
right.
We'll be paying for it in 27.
Okay. So we got 2 years of budget then to allot for that. Okay.
So by in 2027, we would need extra $175,000, I think.
Yeah, 2 more years of budget.
Yeah,
so 100.
50 plus 25, 75 plus 175 to 50.
Sure. And then,
yeah.
And if we were able to use the 50 from the truck purchase because we've already done it, then?
No, I would rather keep 50 in the truck because you never know.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
So, okay. That gives us some time to continue to prep for it.
Or otherwise, maybe we can increase the reserve now instead of 25, make it 50,000 next 3 years, then we will have at least 150,000 by, or 175,000 more than 150,000 or 200,000 in by the 2026.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that sounds like a good financial plan.
It's an option. It's an option, but when we start looking at overall, how much?
Yeah. Put in reserve. So we have. We also have. I mean, we do have. We are running. Currently, as of September 30th, as of August 31st, we are only at, we have 74% of our current budget for 2024 left over. So we are running.
You didn't need all that money?
We are doing our best to be as fiscally responsible as possible. We do have, we have to set aside a certain amount for training in order to meet the certification deadlines. We have to set aside all these things, but if we can operate and do these things without actually hitting every one of those things, then we will have money in our budget at the end of each year where we will be able to essentially return it to the pot. And so at the end, for September 1st, having 74.01% of our current budget left over, I'm not sure what it is at the current time, I believe we're probably down to 60% of it left over, or 50.
I don't remember, but then, you know, we have to remember that big chunks of the salary goes in
the points payout.
Points payout of
happens
the around 35 to 40,000 goes out in the December. So
yes,
that 75 will become all of a sudden 25.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We have to be very careful. And again, we have to look at the year-end balance before we can make any decision.
Sure. Yeah. But we've been able to every year. We've always been successful in overestimating what our necessary budget and expenditures are and coming in at least a little bit underneath that, which is why we had extra money to move last year to help cover the points and so forth within the operational budget itself. So.
Okay, any other questions? You mentioned the backup power, I guess the generators you talked about before too.
Yeah, we're hoping to be successful this year. We've changed our approach a little bit with the application, and those who were successful last year are not eligible this year. So we're hoping that we'll be able to have that backup power installed, which would be greatly beneficial for us as a department from an emergency planning point of view and also from an operational point of view, because when the lights go out, they can still operate.
I have other suggestion is that maybe we can increase the reserve for the vehicle as well as for the SCBA. So when the time comes out, especially if you are, I don't know what the council decision, and let's say if we need to buy a vehicle next year, so at least, you know, we have more money in reserve to pay out the vehicle and as well as for the SCBA.
Yeah. So it'll be given two titles depending on where it's required.
Yeah. number four, the final objective of today was the smallest one of them all, and that was the retention of 4,000 of that 30,000, of which we'd already spent 7 to finish off the inside of Station 2. We've already purchased the paint and the equipment to do so. It's just covering of the man hours, and that is probably an overestimation. So.
Okay. Any further questions for Rob at this point? Very good. Thank you.
Very good.
You can stay, certainly, if you've got 3:30 and listen to the road requests, but I don't know.
I'm okay.
You can do thumbs down every time you ask for something.
Rob.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to thank you because the last report that you provided, the dedication that the volunteer firefighters are putting in for upgrading their training and that.
Yes.
You know, on weekends and putting in
yes.
long hours, so it's it caught my attention, and I think that's worth thanking for that kind of dedication and for all the dedication of all the volunteer firefighters.
Well, thank you very much. We have an impressive group of people, and we really do try to operate as the most professional volunteer service that we can be. So they put a lot of effort in. They do some pretty amazing things, and I'm very proud of them. So
thank you.
Well, so well, thank you very much.
Mr. Roshan, if he wants to go in order.
Yeah. Next on the next department is the building department, and the building department is. You want to go next or? Is
it?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next department is Public Works Department, and the total amount requested by the public departments is 3 million. That big number. 3,379,860.81, and against we are talking about the several projects, the big ones like Hartwell Road, Hartwell Bridge, and the Moffett Road, Dockside Road. We are talking about the backhoe and micro seal, and there are some other smaller projects.
Okay, I guess we're probably back to prioritization and which ones are really... Well, we have some in the works. So
some of them are in the works,
yeah.
And we've all discussed before.
Yeah.
Engineering is done. And it's too bad that Rob left. I just wanted to remind him that the fire trucks can't get to the fire without a road.
Good point.
So... the Herville Road construction project we all know about, and RHH Engineering has completed their analysis of it and given us a cost estimate, and it's ready to go as a summer construction project, and it's $1.1239 million. It's a lot of money, but it's a high traffic road, and I think it's very essential. So I don't think you have any questions for me, because I think Bob has answered all your questions.
More for Roshan, I guess, on how that's financed. I think you put it in here, but...
So, if you... this sheet, where there's a summary by the project.
Page 25.
After that. Go further.
Right there.
Then, after that, there will be another sheet. Well, that's the one.
Oh,
yeah.
Way back on the back.
Okay. Before
the New North Business Machine invoice.
Page 1 and 5.
Yeah, before the business. Yeah, that's
okay.
So that sheet will tell you how the individual project will be funded. So if you are looking at the first one is Hartwell Road, then there's a federal gas tracks program. The money coming out of that account is $134,648. North's ground, they are giving us the final amount, 90,000 for next year.
So the NORDS grant total was 343,000.
Yeah,
so
plus
we have that in reserve.
Yeah, reserve plus this 90,000 coming next year, and then transfer from roads capital construction reserve. That's reserve account 682,493.15 is coming from that reserve account, just for that project.
And the NORDS is in there.
Yeah, well, not that's part
that
of the
part
NORDS.
Of the
yeah,
NORDS.
Yeah. So if even if you just want to see that how I got the number,
maybe just to explain it.
Okay.
We're on this page. So.
Okay. Yeah, and then. OCIF grant is 168,056, and the remaining balance will be funded by the levy, which is 48,702. So total revenue is 1,123,900, and total expenses is 1,123,900.
Okay, sounds good.
Now that the transfer from roads capital construction reserve, that's part of that.
NORDS grant is part of that.
And it came from the $1 million loan?
No. The NORDS grant was initially for Center Road.
Then
and
you
it was over two, it was 160 something thousand a year for 2 years that they gave this?
Initially they gave us 108,000 for 2 years, and then they reduced the amount because they realized that we are earning interest on that one, so they were reducing that fund by the amount of the interest we were earning. So now, this year we got around 90,000, next year I'm expecting around that amount too. So that's total will be, that's why I just want to look at that reserve. See, council can open that page. Page number 22. So that tells this page is about the roads capital construction reserve account, and then this will tell you how we got the funds and how we are going to transfer the money. So if you look at the 2023, the funds were 256,167, and then we are transferring in 2024 budget 114,544, and the Northern grant for the Hartville Road, this year we got 90,013, and the transfer of balance, the Hartville project, we estimated budget for this year and the amount of the funds we used, the remaining balance I'm transferring in this reserve account, 148,630. And the Hartville Bridge, we haven't used any fund, 250,000 I'm transferring in the reserve account. And the Center Road project, remaining balance of 578,178 is transferring in the reserve account. So the total at the end of the December 31st, 2024, is $1,437,533.78. Out of that, again, in 2025, I'm transferring 114,544. And then for the Hartville project, the balance which I earlier shows 148,630, which is coming out of this year reserve, the budget, that's I'm transferring out for the reserve account to the Hartville project. And the NORD grant, $433,862.47, and I'm also transferring another 100,000. So total amount of the reserve I'm going to transfer for this project is $682,483.15.
So the NORDs must have accumulated over the years.
Yeah, that's As of this year, we were, I already showed in this year budget that we were supposed to transfer 343,000, some change for the Center Road, and then changed the project. So that's all allocated here. So the total project cost for Hardwell Road is $1,123,900. It's all covered by levy, grants, and the reserve.
Okay, I guess what I was trying to touch on is that a lot of it's being funded by that loan. Did we not get the $1 million?
We got the 800,000
for Center Road and Hardwell Road.
No, we got the 800,000. That's for the Center Road. That's a debenture.
Right, the debenture, which were that was a 5-year.
That was 10-year, I think.
10-year.
Yeah.
I don't think it was for Center Road. I thought it was 4 or 5.
Five.
I thought five.
I'm lost.
Maybe 5.
Because I think we were going by
yeah,
the life of
five.
The road.
Yeah,
right?
5.
The life of the road.
Yeah, maybe you're right, 5.
I think so.
Yeah.
So we just got to remember we still got to pay that loan back over the course of the next 4 years. I kind of look at it as a loan for Center and this year's or next year's Hardwell Road, kind of a combination of that $1 million to get.
Well, I think when we get looking at the whole budget, ventures will come into that then as part of our be a line item for that, but I'm not
yeah.
sure if that
mm-hmm.
should be part of our capital necessarily.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, it's all switched over to the other road project.
That's right. Yeah, and that's why Hardwell Road seems affordable.
Yeah, the unfortunate part is that we can only do 2 Burnett's, but it's a start.
So the Hurdville Bridge is the next item on our list, and as you know, it was damaged by a motorist in a vehicle accident, and we've been negotiating with the insurance company to see how much we're going to get. Our system doesn't really jive with theirs, so if we make it a project and can move forward with tendering it, we will have the information they're looking for, and we can probably get what our payout is going to be. Right now they're telling us it's $50,000 and that's the maximum, but we know that's wrong because it was an at-fault accident and no fault of ours, you know, and I'm sure we'll get more money, so but if we move forward with this project, we'll be able to get it fixed. It is a safety item. The railings are broken, and get it fixed, and at the same time there are a few other minor repairs that are identified in our bridge study that we'll do at the same time. Estimate from RHH Engineering is about $400,000 to do the work.
So the it was an at-fault accident. So the insurance provider for the person that was in the accident is going to pay out X amount of dollars.
X amount.
And does our insurance? Are we paying? Is our insurance providing anything?
Honestly, the way insurance works right now, I don't know.
Just because when we were looking, I think it was at the, which was, it was our insurance, most recent insurance policy, it seemed like we're underinsured, that the maximum that we would get, I think it was 50,000 or something, so that, you know, something we should consider in the future is increasing the insurable amount for some of the bridges that we know are.
So
I think the
go ahead.
The that insurance report they quoted for 11 million assessment or market value of the bridges, they will charge us $20,000 extra. That's we looked at that and we thought for time being we are going to we don't need it. That
as a public works superintendent, I'd rather see $20,000 a year going into reserves for bridge repairs rather than going to an insurance company for something that we'll never see.
Well,
yeah, I think we agreed with that.
Yeah, in principle, but in regards to the bridge up at that was damaged
in Holmes.
Yeah,
that if we would have had. And it's not that you have to insure all the bridges to the max like that.
Yeah.
Just ones that are highly susceptible.
It's a different scenario though. Like where you're in that situation, I wasn't here, but I know the story. And basically it was insufficient maintenance on the bridge caused the vehicle to cause damage to the bridge, right? In this case, it's another motorist. Our bridge is well maintained. It's lost control and hit the bridge. So there's a difference, right? The first one is basically, it's our fault. We didn't maintain the bridge properly, so our insurance company's only going to pay out $50,000. We didn't know we didn't do the bridge properly. It's just, it's one of those things that happen. Bridges get old and rotten.
Well, we should have known, because in 2016 in the asset management plan, there was $80,000 that was supposed to be allocated for maintenance on that bridge, which was never spent.
Well,
so.
I can't speak to that. I can't speak to that. So, but I'm saying in this situation, I hope insurance companies look at it from our point of view. If it was somebody lost control in the parking lot and ran into the front of this building, I'm sure they'd pay for the repairs on the building. Because it's a bridge, like, why is it going to cost our taxpayers $400,000 to repair the bridge when it's of no fault of ours?
So are you suggesting that the other insurance company waiting for a tender to see the actual cost?
The adjuster is waiting for, he keeps asking for three quotes. And so we've got an engineer's report, which, you know, the engineer report has a very accurate, comprehensive report that says this is how it needs to be fixed and this is what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
And we provided that, and we get a nice email back saying, that's great, can you give us three estimates? Well, we can't give three estimates because we have to tender the process. And if you get estimates prior to tendering, that's an unfair process. We can't do it as a municipality. So we've got to tender the job,
yeah,
plan on doing it, get it fixed, and let them know what it costs so they can pay us.
Well, we know for sure we have the $250,000 reserve,
yeah,
for that project.
Yeah.
So that leaves $150,000, and then if we at least get the $50,000, we're, yeah, $100,000 then, right, to get the project done. And I think I read something that would be similar to the McDougal Road Bridge, like the steel railing,
yes,
kind,
yeah,
of thing.
Yep,
right.
It's very similar.
Yeah.
Because they had a similar situation years ago.
Right. And that kind of rail is fairly bulletproof, and if it does get damaged, you know, it's not tremendous expense. So.
Yeah, that's the problem with this railing is, you know,
it's antique.
That, I think that's where the confusion is with the insurance company. Well, give us a cost to fix it. Well, you cannot repair that type of railing.
And I have attached the asset management page 27 from the asset management plan, and it talks about the bridges, and specifically Hartwell Bridge. It talks about the install approach guide rail improvement in 22. The approximate cost is $106,000. And again, there's some repair cost, which is, they're talking about $502,000.
Now, since it is a boundary road, has a McDougal been approached at all about the situation?
This bridge is, I'm not sure, because
the
length of time I've been here, it's listed as one of our assets, not one of theirs.
Yeah, it's interesting, because when the paving was done right through that whole area, McDougal took it on themselves, but we contributed to it.
Yeah.
They asked us to give a certain amount.
And, yeah, it's listed as one of our assets, so it might be wholly our asset.
So, did we approach them at all?
I don't
think we haven't yet.
I think that's a great point, because anything that is a boundary road or boundary road asset is responsibility of both municipalities, unless the municipalities have put an agreement in place that one of them is going to be fully responsible for, you know, the road or the asset. So I think that's a really key point here.
Even if we said to them about the paving, we contributed so much money towards the paving, is there any possibility you could contribute something towards?
I'm not sure. I heard that story. I pay attention lately to learn what's gone on in the past. I'm not sure if we contributed because we owned a share of the road, or we contributed because we owned that portion of the road, sort of from Hardy's to...
Yeah, see, that's the thing. We sort of own it, yes, but it's a boundary road. And I think that's where Councillor Kekkonen is right.
Yeah, it could very well be.
Yeah, so it goes back to the municipal act.
Yeah.
Municipal act. And I think, once again, this brings us back to the discussion of, let's look at our boundary road agreements that we have with the other municipalities.
And especially in that one, because my understanding was, in the past, when they limited down by the golf course, their other bridge, more people were, even from McDougal, accessing McDougal which they could do because it's unlimited. And, but that's wear and tear on the bridge too, if it's all ours. So I think it is partly theirs.
But I think a letter off to McDougall, ask him for them, see if they would contribute, would be a great idea. That we're spending, we're going to get quotes on replacing the railing, and if they'd be interested. Now would be the time to do it before they get their budget in place.
And I think this is the opportune time, once again, to have those discussions about what that boundary road agreement looks like. Because if we're going to replace that bridge at some point in time, we want to have that agreement in place to ensure that we get whatever contribution is. If it's 50-50, then there would be an expectation of 50% contribution.
Yeah, that's the thing in this. I don't know. We put the grant in. I know it was a deficient, incomplete grant, but proposal. If we do replace this bridge at some point, and I know it's a matter of when, you can't leave the railing the way it is. But I'd hate to see all that good money go into the railing and then have the bridge replaced. So council's going to have to consider that too. That's one of our last bridges to replace, I guess. Then how much do we put in it now to repair it? I know you run into that with all the departments, but I guess we have to deal with today. We certainly can't put that into our capital budget, a new bridge. So, I mean, the Veterans Memorial Bridge was the same way. It was over a decade we were trying to get that replaced. From the single to the two lane, and we had to wait for a government grant to do it. So I imagine this would be very similar.
Well, to find out, are there any grants coming down the pipelines? Because if it's a 90%, 10% funding and we're paying 10%, then $400,000 would be much more well spent on that 10% than on fixing the rail.
90-10 sounds really good. I know with veterans it was part of their program was a 30-30-30 sort of thing, or a 30-30-30, so that we did pay a third of it, but
even that's manageable.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll pull this up here with that.
All right, next project, the three of them are similar. So it's the reconstruction of Moffett Road, the reconstruction of Dockside Road, and the reconstruction, I don't see it on here, Stony Road.
I think it was just late in coming. Maybe there was part of Stony Road that.
Yes. It's here now. I've seen the paperwork and the drawings. So
yeah.
That is something that's been discussed long before I'm here, and it's Roshan calls it an in and out, but I call it an out and in. We've got to pay and collect the money. So.
Right. And it's complicated because you have to go to the actual residents to see if they even want it. And
I think that's the next step. So in capital budget planning is petition them now in December and see if they conform to our bylaw for taking over a road, which is, I think, 66% in agreement, and then talk to them about moving forward. So we have costing on it now. And
no, I think that's excellent. I think that would be the approach rather than put it right in now and take away other projects. Waiting on this one, we have to confirm with them that they want to.
Yeah.
So since we're discussing this, have they received a copy of this?
I
not yet.
Don't imagine.
Look, I believe that there is a individual from that road that's that's online right now.
I believe so.
Okay. Well, there will be an opportunity certainly for, and unless council wants them to commit at this point.
We are in the committee of the whole, right?
Oh, yes, they can. It's up to council if you want the public to come in. I think Tom's suggestion that they be petitioned right away in December makes sense to do that, and then they would get all the information their representative would, and then they would proceed from there how they disseminate that information to their groups.
But I think it would be better if they get all the information rather than just hearing and questioning back and forth right now. If they got the information and they could read through it and see what's entailed.
Yeah, we should provide that sort of right away, saying that it's been available to us, just not for long, but it's been available to us for a few days. And then call a meeting with them. Because I know they are organized and